Ruth chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. These are God's words. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought it out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of Yahweh, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So at this point, it's the end of Ruth's harvesting day. And remember, after harvesting in the field all day, she went ahead and threshed what she had harvested. And she ended up with an ephah of barley grain, which is about 20 pounds of grain, which is pretty good for a threshed day's work. Plus, she has her leftovers from lunch. You remember at lunch, Boaz had her sit by him, and he passed to her from his own parched grain, and she ate, and she was satisfied, and she had some left over. So she brings in, she comes in, it's probably pretty late, but Naomi, her mother-in-law, is interested to see what the results of the day were. And Naomi is watching her, and she comes in with 20 pounds, like a sack, probably like this big, of just grain. She lugs that in, and Naomi sees it, and she can see Naomi seeing it, and so she pulls out her lunch leftovers, that which she had kept back from lunch, and gives Naomi her lunch leftovers to eat. And of course, with all of that, you know, the great big sack of grain, and Naomi has the lunch leftovers for her late supper. Naomi says to her, "Where have you gleaned today?" Kind of like, of course, a much more important version of it. But when you bring a nice meal, maybe that is unusual, to a fellowship meal at church, and ladies in the church are like, "Where did you get that?" So Naomi wants to know, where was it? And she knows that Ruth could not have done this without help. And so she wants to know, "And who was it who took notice of you?" Ruth says a word at the end of verse 19 that makes Naomi explode with praise unto God and prayers for the person who took notice of Ruth in verse 20. And the word that Ruth says that gets Naomi so excited is the word Boaz. And the reason Naomi is so excited is because, as she says at the end of verse 20, he is one of our, and New King James says, close relatives. The word is redeemer, or as some translations put it, kinsman redeemer. It's someone who had several different responsibilities according to the Old Testament law. One was that any land that had been sold out of the clan, according to Leviticus 25, the Goel, the Redeemer, was supposed to get it back for them. So the Redeemer gets for you what you have lost. Any relatives from the clan who have, because they had debt and sold themselves into slavery, the Redeemer is to try to buy them out of slavery. So he gets back what you have lost, and he gets you out of your slavery. Anyone that has done something to you, especially if someone has killed someone else in the clan, the Redeemer is to go after after that person. The scripture also refers to him as the Avenger of Blood, Numbers 35. And he prosecutes the person who killed your relative is supposed to run away to the city of refuge, and the elders of that city take him in, and then a trial is conducted, and if it turns out that he's guilty of murder, the avenger takes revenge upon the murderer. But if it turns out that it was manslaughter, that it was unintentional, then the person who committed the murder has to stay in the city of refuge until the year of Jubilee, and the Avenger of Blood does not get him there. So the Redeemer gets back for you what you lost. The Redeemer buys you out of slavery. The Redeemer avenges in the wrong that is done to you. And finally, and this is the one that is most in play, although all the rest is important, in Deuteronomy 25, the Goel, the Redeemer, or the Kinsman Redeemer, was to marry his brother's widow if his brother died without an heir, so that the firstborn of this new marriage would be the heir of the dead brother, and his inheritance would carry on, and then the secondborn son of this new marriage would be the heir of the living brother and the once widow, now remarried wife. Of course, Ruth's husband has died, and so there needs to be an heir for her husband to reclaim all of her husband's lands, and then so the Goel would do all of these things. Now, there would have been a few different men in the clan who were close enough related to be the Redeemer. And we'll find out at the end of the book that there was one who was closer than Boaz. And he thought getting Ruth's dead husband's property was a good idea. But then when he was reminded that he would also have to have Ruth, he decided to pass, and that allows Boaz at the end of the book to marry Ruth and to produce the heir. So, when Naomi says in verse 20, this man is a Goel, he's one of the men who's qualified to be the Redeemer, it's with praise unto God that he turned out to be a man of great quality, a man of faith, a man of kindness, that he is the one who has taken such notice of Ruth that she came home with a great big 20-pound sack of barley grain and lunch leftovers. And after Naomi explodes of this, blessed be he by Yahweh who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. There's some question whether that was... the one that she says has not forsaken the kindness of Boaz or Yahweh. But it's almost certainly, I think, reading the passage, Yahweh, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Naomi had judged the Lord based on what she knew and what she could see. And she had judged him unfairly. Of course, Boaz, to reach where he is now, the Lord has to be working in his life for a long time to bring him to repentance and faith and grow him in godliness. So the Lord's providence and the circumstances, the Lord's providence in the life of Boaz were at work long before this time. And Naomi, in a right repentance of her own, a turn from how she was talking before, now recognizes that Yahweh never forgot her. Yahweh has not struck his arm out against her, turned against her. She exclaims, praise and also prayer and of blessing upon Boaz. And once Ruth has heard that, she adds, "Oh, and by the way, he wants me to to come back and spend all my time with them." And Naomi says, "That's a good idea. Don't let anybody else get any other ideas. This one's the best idea." And Ruth does stick with the young women of Boaz, according to verse 23, and gleans for the barley harvest and the wheat harvest one after another. Would have been roughly 3 months that she would have been going. Don't know if she gets, 20 pounds per workday for 3 months would be like 1,000 pounds of grain or something. More than that. Like 1,500 pounds of grain, which would be plenty for them to eat and sell and be doing pretty good. But of course, the fact that he's a Goel, the Redeemer, is a bigger thing. And we're looking forward now in the rest of the book to hear what comes of that. But most of all, as we look at this, we see how Boaz, as wonderful as this is, what we have lost from our sin is much greater than what was lost in the inheritance when Ruth's husband died. The slavery that we have been in is much greater. That which has been done to us, the murder by the devil from the beginning, murdering the eternal souls of an entire race, is greater. And our need for someone to gain for us an inheritance by marrying us is greater. And of course, the Lord Jesus is our Redeemer, who has done all of these things for us, that he has gained for us not just what was lost by Adam, but gained for us far more than Adam ever had or could have lost, that he has saved us out of our slavery and brought us into the adoption as sons, that he has not just avenged by crushing the serpent's head, but will cast the serpent into the lake of fire that is prepared for him. And the Lord Jesus, who takes his church as his eternal bride, joins us to himself in love forever and ever. And so you see something like this, and you want to explode with praise along with Naomi and see the greatness of God. And we should empathize with her and with Ruth. And yet, even all of that is just the tiniest little picture of how Christ is to us and how glad we should be over the Lord Jesus, and how we too should obey the instruction to stick close to him and stay with his people and belong to him, and not put our hope in or find our place of belonging anywhere else except with Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing your family to this passage on this day. We pray that you would help us even in the midst of our physical weakness and also our spiritual weakness, to look to Christ, who is our Redeemer and has brought us near and has done for us according to all that the Redeemer does, that we might hope in him and stick close to him and rejoice that he has taken notice of us, rejoice that he has shown us steadfast love and faithfulness, rejoice that he has provided for us, rejoice that he has joined us to himself. Stir up our faith, that we might rest in him, and grant that we would be glad to live as those who belong to him for the rest of this life and forever. For we ask it in his name. Amen.